In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates. WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adele, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Quitman, Georgia, WJNW, AM 1650, Herman, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Texpro Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR, Digital West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. With that, let's bring on my co-host, Mr. Ken Brown from Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Brown, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm all right, Primo. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Let's see. I'm going to tell you something and already slipped my mind.
So. You're probably really excited. There's only 5 months till football, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no one knows you, I guess, that doesn't have your Facebook, but it's like, I don't know if a day goes by that Primo doesn't post something about the Vols and what they're ranked and what, and it's like, we're only in February.
Yeah, I know. I can't help it. I mean, I've been a Vol fan my entire life, ever since I was a little kid, you know. And,
well, you had some dry years there, so you got to.
Yeah, we did. Spread the wind. We definitely have had some dry years. We had some really good years in the late 80s and all through the 90s. Tennessee was a powerhouse, you know, for the most part. Always competed for SEC championship, you know, and then after that, it kind of dried up pretty quick because of all the coaching changes. But I think we finally got a good one now, Butch Jones. And that's not to say Tennessee doesn't have its problems, of course, but, you know. At least the future, it looks bright anyway. So,
all right, so what is the pre-ranking?
I think the highest pre-ranking we've had, there's been several polls that come out that are either magazine polls or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And the highest I think we had was fifth. And another poll, we were eighth. And another one, we're like in the teens. And so, yeah, that's, you know, pretty good, you know, for us, considering where we've been in the last few years. And the thing is, in the SEC East, Georgia looks like, you know, because they lost their coach. And in Florida, it looks like they're going to be down, you know. We should be positioned to do well in the East. Of course, the problem is you got to play whoever's in the West, which would normally be like an Alabama or something. So, you know. But we came close to beating Alabama last year. So, you know.
You never know.
Never know. Okay, enough football talk. Let's get back to what we're here for. Real quick, a new program has been added to the lineup. The Antidote to Liberalism will debut on Tuesday, February 23rd at 12 a.m. That's basically Monday night. On Studio B, it's hosted by a guy named Todd Huff. He approached me about getting on the network, took a listen to his show and liked it. He's going to be on 5 days a week at midnight through the week. So looking forward to that. And with that, let's go ahead and get started. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hit a few stories, Ken, and then we'll talk about the Nevada caucus during the first segment of the show, and then during the last segment of the show, we're basically going to talk nothing. We're going to talk about the GOP primary in South Carolina. Will be the primary focus there. Let's see here.
Well, one thing I can just want to say, I say right off the bat that I know you'll probably talk about this later in depth, but I am glad for one thing, if nothing else happens, and that's we won't have a Bush-Clinton repeat in 2016.
Yeah, we'll just go ahead. And if people hadn't already heard, Bush is out after his performance in South Carolina. He finished a pretty distant fourth. He had about slightly less than 8% of the vote. And there were rumors about, matter of fact, Politico had an article about middle of the week, said that the Bush machine was running on fumes, that they had all that money he had, mm-hmm. they had basically spent all of it, but they had like $15 million left. And now $15 million is a lot of money for me and you, Kim, but that's not a lot of money to run a presidential campaign on. And they had spent well over $100 million, you know, some, you know, because I remember he had $100 million at the beginning of his run. I don't know how much he added to that, but you know, well, at least that much that he spent and really didn't get a whole lot of traction with any of it. And of course, that means that it'll be interesting because where do all those votes go? We'll talk about that a little bit more here later. But, yeah, Bush is out, and you would think that Kasich and Carson would get out, but I guess they're not going to, at least not right now. So, and again, we'll talk about the reasons for that in a few minutes. But, you know, the whole thing with the – we talked about this last week about with the South Carolina debate last Saturday night, and about Trump going after the Bush family and going after George W. Bush and 9/11, that we thought that might really hurt his chances, perhaps nationally and or in South Carolina. And other than one poll that showed that Cruz was ahead of Trump nationally, now this was not a South Carolina poll, it was a national poll, showed that Cruz was, I think, at 28 and Trump was at 25. Most of the national polls still showed Trump with a pretty commanding lead of 8 to 10 to 12 points. And sure enough, I think those were the right ones. The one that showed Cruz with a slight lead, probably just an outlying poll because when you see how well he did in South Carolina. But I sort of thought that maybe, I don't know about you, but I sort of thought that maybe the way he went after the Bushes and he started talking about 9/11, that maybe it would hurt him in some people's eyes, but apparently, again, the Teflon Don is still alive. It doesn't seem to matter what he does or what he says.
The anti-establishment people are just alive and well, aren't they?
Yeah, and they just don't give a crap what he, I mean, he literally, I mean, he said this himself. I think we talked about this last show. Is he said at one point in one of his campaign speeches, he said that he could shoot somebody in the middle of Park Avenue and nobody care. Everybody would still vote for him. And I guess he's right, you know.
Well, when he, that debate, the last debate, when he went after George W. and his quote-unquote reign and 9/11 happened under his reign and the message, the weapons of mass destruction, I mean, he went after everything, like conspiracy theories. It was...
Yeah, I know.
And he wasn't stopping, and it didn't hurt him.
Well, you know what's funny? After that debate, I guess he started supporting Donald Trump. Code pink. Code pink. Because he sat there and did the whole number on Bush and weapons of mass destruction, and Bush lied and people died and all that kind of crap. I mean, basically, he was doing, and Code pink came out, said they supported Donald Trump. I think, geez, Louise. You know, anybody else, any other Republican candidate, if they were endorsed by Code Pink, that would be the death knell.
Yeah. You know, we talked about this before the show started, but now that Bush is out, his people go where? You know, probably Rubio. If Casey gets out, where does his people go? Probably Rubio. If Carson gets out, where does his people go? Probably Cruz. Well, Carson's staying in the race. He's got money to do it. I don't know about – I would think Kasich would go out quicker. So, but the race should already be tightening a little bit with Rubio should be getting a big boost from Bush.
Well, see, Kasich thinks he's going to do well, and I know we said we're going to do this the second half of the show, but we're not. But Kasich has said before he's not getting out because he knows he thinks he's going to do well in Ohio and Pennsylvania and places like that. Well, yeah, that may be true, but if you don't, you haven't won any, you know, I mean, you're not, I mean, he's not going to do well on Super Tuesday. With it's also called the SEC primary because it's mostly Southern states. Mm-hmm. I just don't see Kasich doing. I mean, look what he did in South Carolina. He wound up getting, 7.6%, yeah. Whatever it was. You know, it was so I don't see. And another thing too, and we mentioned this off the air, but let's go ahead and bring it since we already talked about this. Let's go ahead and do it now. There's a story that I think, I don't know if it's actually been done, but it's supposed to be done. Mitt Romney is going to endorse Rubio now that South Carolina's over. So that definitely, if you didn't know who the establishment rhino candidate was, so to speak, now you know, if assuming that Romney's going to endorse Rubio, that's who everybody who in the establishment who does not want Trump to get the nomination, I guess everybody's going to put their money in their mouth and their support behind Rubio, it looks like. And I guess Kasich thought maybe he was going to get some of that or whatever. And, of course, I guess Bush thought too. But apparently Rubio's the anointed one.
Well, I think the one that really solidified the establishment vote was, or the endorsement was Haley. Nikki Haley, when she went for Rubio.
Well, you know what's funny about that is she used to be a Tea Party person, but the Tea Party's kind of disavowed her with some of her stances on a few things. And then, you know, think about Rubio. Rubio got his start with the Tea Party movement, and he's kind of, because of his immigration stance and the Gang of Eight thing, he's lost a lot of support there. So, yeah, it's...
Well, how do you feel? Because I know I'm a Cruz guy, but my second choice is Rubio. So, I mean, I would rather have Cruz for a host of reasons, but I'm not so bad, you know, I'm okay with Rubio from what we've had in the past.
Yeah, I'm a same thing. I'm a cruise guy, and though let's say cruise isn't going to be the one. We shouldn't be writing him off at least at this point, because he could do well in the SEC primaries, the Super Tuesday. We just don't know.
Oh yeah,
that's yet to be seen. But let's just say things stay as they are. And remember, it was so close in South Carolina. It was Rubio won. What was the amount? It was 22.5%, and Cruz had 22.3%. It was around 1,000 votes separated the two. So, you know, we shouldn't get too crazy here. But what I'm getting at is, let's say Rubio, because of Bush getting out and Mitt Romney endorsing him and all that kind of thing, let's say he maintains a second place deal there. Well, once the other people do drop out, those delegates are going to have to go somewhere. They're going to go either Rubio or Cruz. And like I said, I'm like you. I'm for Cruz number one. But if I had to choose between, well, first of all, I'm not going to pick Ben Carson. I'm not going to pick Kasich. Okay, so that only leaves two other people, Rubio and Trump. And so if my choice is Rubio and Trump, assuming that Cruz isn't going to be there, if it's Rubio and Trump, yeah, I'm going to pick Rubio. That's just the way it is.
I understand the Trump supporters. If anybody understands, we understand that how the establishment has said they're going to do something and they do the exact opposite. There's no doubt. And I'm just as ticked as they are. And I don't want an establishment person, but I do think they're, you know, that Rubio's a good guy. What I'm scared of, and I think you're scared as much as I am, is that Trump is not a true conservative. That's the scary part.
Yeah, but apparently a lot of people don't give a crap. They're so anti-establishment. And I think they can't see the forest for the trees, because they could be getting someone who could be damn near as bad as Hillary and Bernie. I mean, not quite, but I mean.
But I don't think that most of them, most Trump supporters don't care. They just think that
they're just so pissed. Yeah, they're just pissed.
He is non-political. I mean, that's period. He's just not.
Well, he's not ideological. That's really the best way to say it, because you look at Cruz, he's very ideological. You look at Hillary and Bernie, they're very ideological. And then you look at Trump, he's not, because he's all over the damn place on everything.
Well, plus he's got his own money.
Yeah.
They know that no lobbyists are going to get to him. And that's true. I mean, you can't say it's not, because it is. And I would vote for him. And we've said it before that I'm gonna vote for whoever the candidate is.
I hope I don't have to. That's what I'm getting to. I mean, because I've said this before and I'll say it again, I'm getting sick and tired of holding my nose and vote for people. If I voted for Trump, I'd have to hold my nose. I would.
But you would, and I would. And
yeah, but I'm getting sick and tired of it. I'm just about.
But here's the next question, though. But does he have enough Trump supporters to win a general?
Well, there's the magic question, because I know we've got way into this now.
but everybody wants to hear this, Primo.
I know. But there's the magic question, because he has the highest negatives of any candidate. When you ask the question like, who are you going to vote for, whatever, Trump does well. But then when you ask the question like, who will you never vote for? Trump is number one.
Oh, guess so, what? You know, when Obama was interviewed last week, and he threw a little tidbit out there that, you know, about Trump without saying his name, and how it's kind of like he wanted Trump to win, because that
his
best shot at Hillary beating Trump is better than Hillary beating Rubio or Cruz. So it's like, we know who they want. They want Trump to be the nominee.
Yeah. Well, here's another little nugget that I found out last night. I think it was last night. And they were talking about these exit polls. And they were asking people, well, who did you vote for? And, of course, you know, they could lie. I mean, you never know. But one question they asked everybody was, If your guy can't win the nomination, who would be your second choice? Who would be your number two? Mm-hmm. And guess who won that one?
No.
Cruz.
Really?
Yeah. It gives me a little hope. But
well, that's the thing.
There's just so many things to play in here. And let's go ahead and get this out of the way. Carson's already said he's staying in. And, of course, we know Kasich says he's going to stay in too. But I think Carson's going to stay in. Really, I think he has to know he has no chance. I think Carson's staying in just to try to screw Cruz because of the thing that happened in Iowa. Now, forget the fact that Rubio's people did the same thing that Cruz's people did, but apparently Cruz was the first one to do it, and so I guess that kind of got Carson's attention more so than what Rubio was doing. So, that Donald Trump is encouraging Carson to stay in.
Yeah. Your statement about the Bush people, where they're going to go and all those things.
Yeah.
Who's to say they really will go for Rubio? There may be a lot of them that want to go for Cruz. If you're saying that the second choice is Cruz.
Yeah, that makes you wonder now, doesn't it?
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, maybe those Bush supporters aren't Rubio people after all.
Well, another little tidbit, when they were talking about, Trump came out, and when he was doing his acceptance speech, he said, look, these so-called experts say that because Bush is out, then all these people are gonna run to Rubio or Cruz or whatever. And he said, I'm going to get my share. You know, some of them are going to come to me. And they sit there, and one of the guys that were doing the math said that, you know, let's just say that 10% of the Bush people went to Rubio. Excuse me, went to Trump. He said that'd be enough to keep Trump in the lead all the way through. So, based on what he's doing so far with national polls and stuff, so you add another, 10% of what Bush had. This thing could go several different ways, depending on, just all kinds of factors here at this point.
Well, the part that kind of scares me is that we've had how many debates now? Nine?
I think it's nine, yeah.
And Bush has, he's done eight of them. He missed one. It didn't really hurt him. And
you mean Trump?
Trump. Yeah. Trump missed one and didn't hurt him. And now he's really stuck his foot in his mouth from the last debate, I think, and it didn't really hurt him. I don't know. Maybe this Teflon thing is it's true. He may be unstoppable.
Well, the Trump train might be riding on Teflon rails. That could be maybe that's the best way, because if he just may go all the way. And just remember now, when he first got in a few months ago, we thought, it's just a publicity stunt. He's just trying. He's probably got a new reality show coming up, for running for president or something. And again, I say this every single week we do the show, the GOP doesn't have anybody to blame but themselves for this mess.
Oh, yeah.
If they had done what they told the American people they were going to do when they got in power, Trump wouldn't be a factor.
I just as a local thing here, one of my centers is Johnny Isaacson, and I'm on his, Facebook thing, and he's running for re-election this November, and he talks about how conservative he is. And he has little videos running all the time about how conservative he is, and I read the comments. There's thousands of comments, and a lot of comments are like, "No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not
fooling us.
You voted for that $1 trillion omnibus bill." I wrote comments saying, "How can you call yourself a conservative when you're voting for a $1 trillion stimulus bill? Are you nuts?" But there's a lot of people that don't like what's happened, and Trump's the benefactor.
Well, a lot of people are like you and me. We're pissed off. We're upset. We're getting sick and tired of being lied to, and so I get the anti-establishment thing. I get it. you know, I really do. But
well, that's why we go for Cruz, because Cruz is anti.
Even though he's a sitting senator, he is, because
he's hated. He's hated by his own party.
He's hated by his own party. He's hated by most of those people in the Senate.
The thing, I'm kind of giving a stump for Cruz, but what he says, he does. And isn't that what you want out of a politician?
Yeah, you would think so.
He fought against Obamacare. He did. He got there and he spent 22, 23 hours on his feet. And
where it was, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, he tried.
Yep.
Whatever he says, he does try to do. And I'm thinking,
at least for the most part. I mean, you can point to any politician's record and always find something to bitch about. I mean, Cruz included. Yeah. But for the most part, he has done what he said he was going to do, you know. So, and that is, again, that's better than all these rhinos who promise the moon but don't deliver it when it comes time to actually put up and shut up.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we need to go to break. We're running over, and we've already talked about the GOP thing pretty much. But we'll try to maybe break in a few other stories, and we do want to talk about the Nevada caucus and Hillary, and her win against Sanders. And I've got a good little line I want to be sure and spring on everybody about Hillary. When we come back, you'll find out what that is. Thank you for listening to Red State Town Hall program. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
Tired of the same old blah, blah, blah of traditional conservative talk radio?
We know that under the 49% rate, the U.S. economy is 40%.
Then tune in to New Media's Talk Monster for grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio, Red State Talk Radio.
What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing?
WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobetes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobetes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobetes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobetes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobetes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the New Media's Talk Monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Okay, we're back. Let's go ahead and talk. Let's keep right on the election stuff. Let's talk about Nevada real quick, and then we may go back to the Republican stuff. Of course, Hillary won the Nevada caucus. It was actually pretty close. It was, I think, 53-47, something like that. What's amazing is that there was a precinct in Nevada that was tied. The caucus vote was tied. And what you would expect in Las Vegas, in Nevada, the way they break the tie is they don't do a coin flip like they did in Iowa. Again, they draw cards. High card wins. And so they drew the cards. Hillary gets an ace. Bernie gets a six. Here we have, think about this.
Didn't that happen in Iowa, too, with the coin flip?
Well, the coin flip, she won 6 out of 6 coin flips, which is damn near impossible to do. But, this woman has, first of all, she probably in Iowa had a heads I win, tails you lose kind of thing. One of those kind of deals. I'm not really sure how that worked, but either she had a two-headed coin or, and in Nevada, maybe she had a stacked deck. Who knows? Marked cards. There's no telling what was going on with Hillary. Because she has so much. Remember now, this is the woman who took about $1,000 in cattle futures and turned it into $100,000 back way, way, way back in her Arkansas days. So she wins the coin tosses. She wins the draw in Nevada. She does all this stuff with cattle futures. I'm thinking, I'm being serious here. She is so damn lucky. She should quit politics. She should start playing Texas Hold'em. Because think about this. Not only is she lucky, she can lie like hell. And so she'd do great with trying to bluff people, don't you think?
Oh, did you see her interview with us?
Dear God. I wish I should have recorded that.
Should have. I just horse laughed. Have you ever lied to anybody?
Have you ever lied, and her response was, she gave herself a little wiggle room. I forget exactly how she put it.
She said, I always try to tell the truth, or something like that.
Yeah, or something like that, and try to be straight up with the American people, and blah, 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 and he even called her out on it and said, some people say that's, you're giving yourself a little bit of wiggle room. She goes, no, and she went on, and I'm thinking, hell, she even lies about lying.
Well, she does.
She does. Criminal. Oh, dear God. Anyway.
She should be in jail. Can't believe she's running for president. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the numbers were, this was not the final tally, but Clinton, she's predicted the winner. Clinton had 52.2% of the vote, and Sanders had 47.7%. Now, again, this is a caucus state, which is weird the way these Nevada and Iowa do their stuff. It's just strange. But anyway, the Republicans will go to Nevada, I think, Tuesday, I believe. And then the Democrats will have their primary in South Carolina this next Saturday, this coming Saturday. So at the end of this next week, we'll know who won Nevada and South Carolina for both parties. So you would think that Clinton should win South Carolina pretty easily because there's a large black population. And she did well with blacks in Nevada the other day. So assuming she maintains that, I think she got 69% of the vote for blacks in Nevada. Assuming she does that in South Carolina, she'll win easily. But you never know.
I saw a article on Yahoo News. I had a picture of Hillary on there, and it says, white lady who makes $685,000 for speaking fees tells black people she feels their pain.
Yeah, I've seen similar things like that on Facebook and stuff, and and how she gets away with that. And I saw a really good thing on Facebook said, $275,000 is not a speaking fee. It's a speaking fee. It's a bribe disguised as a speaking fee. In other words, you own a company and you have Hillary Clinton come to your company and you give her $275,000 for a 45-minute speech. Is what she has to say so damn important it's worth $275,000? No.
Oh, I know.
Nobody has anything that's that important. Really. I mean, think about it. You're a major American corporation. You do millions or billions of dollars worth of business every year. What the hell could Hillary Clinton tell you that you don't already know?
And then she says, well, that's what they offered.
Yeah, I know. We talked about that. But I'm just saying. I mean, it's just blatant, and it's just obvious what the hell's going on here. They're sitting there padding her pockets so that if she becomes president, I mean, you're making a gamble. You're gambling, saying yes, she could win, so we're going to give her money so that at some point we may need a favor, and at least she'll take our phone call. And of course, the reality is she won't just take the phone call. She will listen intently and will probably do what the hell they say. That's just the way it is. And Donald Trump even says that. He's talked about he's given money to all kinds of Democrats. He's given money to Republicans and Democrats. And yeah, being in New York, he's in mostly Democrats because he had mostly Democrats in New York. That's his
favorites.
And so, yeah, so that you get favors and you like you say, they take your phone call. When Donald Trump, when you're campaigning in New York and Donald Trump gives you money, when he calls, you take the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't take my phone call. They wouldn't take your phone call, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it be Georgia, Tennessee, or New York, it doesn't really matter where it's at. It's if you make large contributions to candidates, they will take your phone call. If you don't, they won't. Well, for example, how many times have you called your senator, Ken, and ever gotten through to him? Talked to him.
You never get through to them, no.
Well, exactly. You get whoever answers the stupid phone, and that's as far as you're going to get.
You get an aide.
Yeah. But if you were Donald Trump and you gave whatever the maximum amount is for their campaign or to a super PAC, they will hunt them down on the Senate floor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Now, is that good, bad, or ugly? It's just the way the hell it is. Doesn't really matter what you think about it. It's just the way it is. Let's see.
That's why you get a guy like Cruz who bucks the system.
Yeah.
He doesn't play by those rules. And he gets called out and he calls his own majority leader a liar on television. You kind of go, okay, this guy's not He's not like the rest of them.
Yeah. Let's get this out real quick. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I think we need to recognize the fact that we have a jackwagon for president. Antonin Scalia dies, of course, last weekend, just before the debate. His funeral. First of all, he had a wake at the Supreme Court on Friday. Obama and his lovely wife Michelle showed up. Spent less than 2 minutes honoring a great man. Obama did not attend Scalia's funeral, even though he's attended other funerals that are people who, well, for example, Robert Byrd, former KKK member, Senate leader, Democrat. He went to his funeral, but he didn't go to Scalia's funeral. That's just one example. But what I'm getting at is, here's the thing. It wasn't like he was busy. He had absolutely nothing on his schedule for Saturday. The President of the United States had nothing on his schedule for Saturday. No speeches, no nothing. And he can't force himself to show up, to show a modicum of respect for a great jurist.
No, but he will have a nominee by next week to take his place.
Yeah, I've heard that it's coming soon. And here's the thing. Joe Biden supposedly went. I don't know for sure. He was supposed to go. I'm sure he did. My point is, the excuse they gave, that Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, gave that. Well, of course, when Joe Biden goes, when the vice president goes, the security footprint's smaller, so it's much easier to do. And I'm thinking, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, that crap. That's just crap.
You're in Washington, D.C.
That's just crap.
They routinely stop the entire city every time Obama gets in his motorcade. And you're telling me that you're worried about security for the president to attend a Supreme... Give me a break.
That's just baloney.
Give me a break. You know, one of the persons officiating the eulogy at his funeral was Scalia's son. He had nine, by the way, he had 9 children and 20-something grandchildren. And his son, he has a son that's a priest. And he told a story that was kind of funny about his father came in to the church to do confession, line up for confession, found out he was in the confessional line for his son. And he said that he looked at his son, he goes, well, I'm not going to confess to you. And he moved over to the next line, to whoever was doing the confession on the line. I thought, oh, that'd be pretty, that would be something, wouldn't it? Now, someone who was raised Roman Catholic and was in confession a lot, because, I was sitting there a lot. I can sympathize with that. I can empathize with that. I understand that completely. I think I've told you before, Ken, when I used to go to confession, I would try to negotiate with the priest.
Negotiate.
Yeah. As to what my penance would be for what I had done that week, you know?
Yeah, I can see you doing that.
Yeah, I was now, wait a minute, Father. That's not fair. And he always say, you know, this is not up for negotiation. But I couldn't help it. I just thought I was getting a raw deal.
So. You were that way at Wesleyan, at the college.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
real quick, because this is a funny. Tell the audience that about one of your classes at Wesleyan. You told the professor that you wouldn't take any notes, and that you would make a you made a deal with him.
Yeah, well, I made several deals like that with several professors because I did like going to class mostly. But this is actually a class I like going to. It was a history class, and I took a lot of history courses because I love history. And to make a long story short, we had a professor, Dr. Duncan, who was a great history teacher. I mean, he was really good. And you had him. You had him too, Ken. So
sure.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Great guy. But he basically, at the first day of class, he said that, you know, you cannot pass my test unless you take notes and write down everything I say in lectures. You cannot possibly pass, blah, blah, blah. That was one of his big things. He said, there's certain parts out of the book you have to know, but you got to get my lectures down. You really got to have this down. He said, so I encourage you to write everything down I say, you know. And so this was a Monday, Wednesday, Friday class. And it's the first class I ever had with a guy. And I'm sitting there, and Monday I didn't take any notes. Wednesday I didn't take any notes. Friday I wasn't taking any notes. And about midway through the Friday class, Dr. Duncan stops everyone. He says, you, back there in the back, said, what's your name? I said, Primo. He goes, yeah. He said, were you not here on Monday when I told you you had to write down these notes? There's no way in the world you could possibly pass my course if you don't, blah, blah, blah. And I go, yeah, I was here. He goes, I've noticed you. He said, you've not taken down a single note. You sit back with your arms folded, just listening. And I said, well, maybe I'm wrong. This shows you how cocky I was in college. I said, maybe I'm wrong. I said, but the way I understand it, I said, the only reason I would write down a note is if it's something that A, I can't remember, or B, I've never heard of before. I said, thus far, you've not said anything I either can't remember or I've never, or that you've not given anything I haven't heard before. And he just looked at me and he said, okay, I will make it my mission in life that you'll be taking notes before this semester is over with. And so we go through the entire semester, Ken, and I'm not kidding you, I didn't take a single note until about the last week, and it was getting ready to have our final and stuff, and he says something about, I forget what it was, but something about the French Revolution. It's something I had never heard from before, and I thought, well, you know, I ought to write that down. So I wrote it down, and he saw me do it. He stops the entire class. He tells everybody, put your pencils down. I have an announcement to make. He looks back here at me and he goes, I want it to be known that on this date at this time that Mr. Mondoni had to write down a note. And the thing was, he actually liked me because he would come up to me after every course I ever had with him. And he would talk about what he's going to have next course and want to know if I was going to take that course or not in class. And I took every class I could from him that I possibly could with my schedule because I loved the guy in terms of being a teacher. He was a great teacher.
God. Yeah, I took him too a lot.
It was, and then just real quick, my freshman year, my math class, it was 8 o'clock morning math class. I show up the first day, and the guy says, you cannot miss class, blah, 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 blah. And I go up to him after the Dr. Sin, I think his name was. And I go up to him after, I said, look, 8 o'clock's real early in the morning. I said, I work late till midnight. I said, I'm not going to make 8 o'clock classes. I said, what's an A in this class? And it's just a math class. And I'd already looked at the book, and I knew I could do all the problems in the book, and he said, an A is 95 or above. I said, I'll make you a deal. I said, I won't come to class except to take exams. I said, if I make 95 or above, you give me an A. I said, if I make anything below 95, you can give me an F. No problem. He goes, I'll take that bet. And I said, okay, deal. And so I took the course. I did not show up except for exams. I had a 96 average. So, and he said, yeah, I have to admit, I couldn't believe you could do that. I said, well, I told you, you know, I looked at the book and I knew how to do all those problems. I had all that stuff in high school. It was my first freshman year. So, you know, really, it was a general math class, really. You know, it was nothing.
Yeah.
Major. So.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah. So I knew I could pass it. But anyway, so I established myself as being really cocky. I mean, just that's just two examples. I did more stuff than that. Those two are the ones that stand out in my mind. So
all true.
Yeah, King can attest. He went to college with me. He knows how damn cocky it was. I think I've told this before, but you know, and Ken knows this. I bought four books my entire college experience. I didn't even buy books for the cult courses. I just.
Well, Primo snuck into the dorm in the summertime when there was no school. And when he wasn't supposed to be in the dorm, he was sneaking in there to live.
To sleep and take a shower.
Yeah. And so.
That's because I was broke. I had no money.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford to pay rent. So.
I used to go hang out with you at the store. You were, back then, you were pumping gas for people and selling beer and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked 4 to midnight during school. Well, all the time. I always worked 4 to midnight. But the thing was, is during that summer, I just, I couldn't go home. I had nowhere to go home to. And I couldn't afford to pay rent somewhere. So I just snuck in and out of the dorm. And, you know, that's what I did. So I don't feel real guilty about it. I mean, because during the school year, you know, my tuition and everything, I had loans and grants and things like that. That paid for my room and board, so that was good. But during summer, you know, of course, you're screwed. No place to stay. And so I did what I had to do to get through. You know. Anyway, okay, enough about me. Jeez. We need to do one about you. Next time we do this, tell some stories about you.
No, because I don't know what you're going to tell.
Well, you didn't do as much stuff as I did, but still, I'll sit back and think about it. I'll see if I can't come up with something. Real quick, let's see. I think we covered most of this stuff. Oh, yeah. Real quick. We only got about a minute and a half left. This whole thing about everybody getting all upset that Republicans are supposedly not going to approve Obama's nomination for the Supreme Court. Everybody's all tore up about that. First of all, I'm not even sure I trust Republicans to do what they say they're going to do. Some of them have already started crawfishing, you know, and acting like, whatever. So, but let's go back, not flashback to 2007, when Chuckie Schumer called for blocking all Bush Supreme Court nominations. And he did this when Bush had more time left in his presidency than Obama does. I think it was something like 19 months left in his presidency. Now, Obama's only got, basically 10 or whatever, 11, mm-hmm. whatever, in his presidency. And 11, I guess. So this whole crap of, how dare you try to block nominations for Obama? And of course, everybody says it's because everybody's being racist because he's black. Well, you know, it's just, I get so damn sick of this.
Oh, me too.
I get so sick of that. Let me tell you something. If he were to nominate a true conservative to the Supreme Court, he'd get a vote and he'd get approved. But he ain't going to do that.
Nope. He even said he wasn't. He said he wasn't going to do a moderate.
No, he's not even going to do a moderate. He's going to go as far left as he possibly can.
Of course.
Probably somebody like Eric Holder, for God's sake. Jesus Christ, that would be. And, of course, you heard Hillary real quick. She was asked in the town hall, I think in Nevada, will not Obama be a good Supreme Court justice? She goes, yeah, I like that idea. That's a really good idea. And I'm like, holy crap.
No way.
If she were to win, then, I mean, here's the thing, people. Elections have consequences. They do. Mm-hmm. And Supreme Court nominations is one of them.
Obamacare is another.
Yeah, we could go around a whole gamut of things we could say. That's it. We're out of time. You want to take us out, Ken?
If you lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president, and sorely missed these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.